97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Joining us now, a Heritage Scholar specializing in cybersecurity and military special operations, Steve Bucci. Thank you so much for coming on to 97.1 in St. Louis.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What a wild story. Pagers exploding. Now walkie-talkies exploding. So I think everyone kind of hears these headlines. Some people have gone a little bit further, watched some surveillance video of these things being detonated. What do we know so far about what's going on with this?
Well, this started because the Israelis were tracking Hezbollah's leadership, in particular, on their cell phones. So a while back, the Hezbollah leadership said, we're going to stop using cell phones, and they ordered a couple of thousand pagers that were manufactured in Taiwan, I believe, someplace in Asia, except the Israelis heard about it, intercepted the shipment, and injected a substance called PETIN, which is an acronym for an explosive compound, also put in a detonating device, and then they sent them on to Hezbollah. So these are not pagers that people just bought in a store or that anybody else was using. They were pagers specifically bought by Hezbollah and distributed only to their personnel or the people that supported them, like the Iranian ambassador to Lebanon, some Iranian IRGC Quds Force commandos living in Syria, and you know, a couple of thousand of their own folks. And then I've heard two stories. I'm not sure which one is accurate, but one, they said the Israelis just decided it was time to sort of defang Hezbollah in a very big way. And the other story was that the Hezbollah people had started to figure out that there was something fishy about these devices, and the Israelis decided, okay, before they look into it and figure out that they're dangerous and stop using them, we're just going to execute the operation and detonated them. And that was the first day, and they blew up several thousand of these devices, killing some of their operators and maiming several others, lost hands, lost ears, lost eyesight, lost some of their more sensitive parts if they were carrying a device in their front pocket. And then in subsequent days, other devices now have gone off. They switched a bunch of people to walkie-talkie style radios, but apparently they had gotten to those too, and some of those have gone off in the last couple of days. Very precise, very significant, and everybody that's saying, oh, this is terrible, it's inhumane, they killed lots of innocent people. There was some collateral damage, but we're talking in numbers like less than 10. Two or three innocent people were killed, and they were too close to the device when the operator was taken out, and some others were wounded. But about 98 to 99% of the casualties were hardcore Hezbollah operatives or the leadership above them, with some of their international trainers and suppliers got it too, because they had those devices also.
Right. So it's good to note. See, I always said Hezbollah, but I guess people pronounce it different ways and you do it more specifically. They're a terrorist organization. They've been recognized as a terrorist organization for over 20 years. Countries all over the world recognize them. It's not just the United States, as terrorist organizations. So we're talking about equipment used by terrorists to conduct terrorist operations. So I think that needs to be put into perspective. The other thing I was going to mention is that sometimes this is what I worry about. I'm not worried about a terrorist getting blown up. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. I'm worried that someone on that side is going to get the bright idea. Wow, we can sell Americans a bunch of these things, too, as like payback. So should we be worried about, you know, buying stuff on Temu or Alibaba, you know, these foreign websites, that what's going to be shipped to us could be something like this?
We haven't had any incidents like that happen. I personally, and this is my cyber hat on, I do not buy electronics directly from Chinese vendors or other people in Asia, because frankly, they're usually just loaded with malware that can then transfer to your other devices, to your computers, that sort of thing. Somebody else could do this exact same thing with explosives. You know, China really hasn't seen a tendency to do that. And if you're buying your electronics from Lebanon, you're probably not being very bright.
I want to say the United States did something similar with cell phones. They essentially planted these cell phones with criminals, and they used it basically full of malware. So they were able to get all their private messaging, and they were using that as part of their investigation. I want to say the FBI did something like that a couple of years ago. So they weren't blowing up these devices, but they were, you know, doing something similar in a way to gain some intel from people that are, you know, out there to do harm to other innocent Americans. So I guess the idea has been out there for a little bit. You know, real quick, can I play a clip for you from Tom Cotton? He reacted to this, and I wanted to get your reaction to it, too. Tyler, if you can do clip number 6.
How do you think Hezbollah operatives feel right now about using their cell phone or their laptop or turning on their car ignition or even using the toaster or the coffee maker or the refrigerator? Of course, these explosions are going to wreak havoc inside of Hezbollah.
Okay, so collateral damage. Now they're afraid to use these devices they would normally be using. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, he's spot on. You know, in this kind of operation where it's that precisely directed at the bad guys, in this case Hezbollah, it's a huge psychological operation as well as a physical operation to take some of those fighters out or to wound them enough so that maybe they decide to go into a different business. Those folks, you know, their wives, everybody else, are probably having a discussion right now to say, you need to go change your profession, buddy, because we're all at risk if something else happens. Or at the very least, these guys, instead of thinking they could communicate with one another without any potential blowback, literally, they're going to think twice about doing any of these operations. And if you can cripple their ability to communicate, either by taking out the equipment or so discouraging the individuals from using them that they don't, you've accomplished a heck of a lot at stopping your enemy from being terribly effective.
Yeah, Stephen Bucci, heritage scholar specializing in cybersecurity and military special operations. So you kind of know the way this organization thinks. When something like this happens, do they become more emboldened? Like, now they have a goal, they have to get retaliation? Or do you think actually some of them may rethink their position and realize they are mortal and they will die if they continue down this path? What do you think is more likely to happen? More extremists or some of them stepping away?
Well, at least some of them will be furious and will be more extremist. Remember, these guys don't all go out and blow themselves up every day. A lot of them, particularly as they go up in the organization, are not the people who are giving their life for Allah. They are convincing other people to do it. So some of those low-ranking foot soldiers may get sent out to do things with a renewed fervency for the theology of, you know, let's become a martyr. But a lot of the others are going to go, I really don't want to do that. I think I'm going to go sell pistachios or immigrate to another country and become a cab driver. I don't know. But they're going to get out of the terrorist business. And that's kind of the goal of an operation like this. It's not to kill everybody that's in Hezbollah, They just want them to stop being terrorists and targeting the Israeli people.
Well, the way you mentioned and the way you discussed that they're out there recruiting and getting people underneath them to do action, it sounds like a terrorist pyramid scheme, the worst kind of multi-level marketing possible, recruiting people to a terrorist organization, and then you encouraging and forcing them to go out and commit, you know, murder or suicide bombings, things like that. What a terrible recruiting job that would have to be. By the way, if people wanted to see some of your work in Heritage, where can they go and find that?
They can go to heritage.org, heritage.org. Everything that Heritage writes, all their research, all of their documents are available for free download if you want them. We just want to put good information in people's hands so that they can read it, study it, and make their own decisions on which policies to support and which ones to recognize are not effective. And so that stuff's all available to them.
Yeah, here in the United States, I don't think we have walkie-talkies and cell phones that explode. They just threaten you with dirty laundry, essentially. Like they tell you, we're going to release this information unless you do with what we say. They have different ways of threatening you here. But now, I don't think that most people even considered this as an option. But I'm guessing in the world of espionage, in the world of like James Bond, where there's these gadgets that can do things like this, there's probably even crazier things out there that are in use right now.
There are, you know, this kind of technological innovation, if you will, in warfare goes on constantly. There's very, very bright, very capable people who can do things with these kind of digital devices directly through the internet connections, or others like this one. They have to physically have the device, put the stuff in it to make it explode. It's two different types of tradecraft. One is the actual, you know, hacking of the digital device. The other is referred to as a supply chain attack, where they get the device somewhere in its movement or manufacturing points and do some alterations, if you will, to make it do what you want it to do to your adversary at the other end. There is no limit to this stuff other than the imagination of the people doing it. And, you know, given that this is now, you know, boldly out in the open, there'll probably be other people trying it. You know, the good guys, we tend to look for this stuff. We try and protect our supply chain. But, you know, the Israelis are fighting for their lives, and they, in self-defense, there's not too much that's out of the realm of what's doable.
Yeah. Something else I don't think anyone's brought up. I think about us here in the United States, and I go to places and I can't get a cell phone reception. How does Lebanon have such good reception that they can simultaneously just have all of these attacks happen? And it doesn't seem like any of them missed. I'm guessing most of them went off, as far as we can tell. They must have, to me, being able to transmit a signal that can be reached by so many different people at the same time is as equally impressive that they were able to carry out this to begin with.
Well, it's interesting because pagers don't operate exactly like a cell phone. That's why Hezbollah thought they would be safer by using the pagers, because it goes, you know, if you want to contact somebody on a pager, you dial a number, it goes to a transmitter and then goes out over the telephone signal to the devices. So it's a little different technology. It's an older technology than 5G cell phone coverage like we have here in most places. And it allows that. It makes it more reliable, but you can't do as much with it. But in this case, because of the alterations they put in, they were able to dial one number that dialed every one of those pagers at the same time and caused them all to go off. So some of it's kind of tricky technology, but it's built on an older technology backbone And that additional reliability made this really a spectacular effect to have all those explosions go near simultaneously.
Imagine if that number got out there. that's amazing. Or someone dialed the wrong number accidentally one time. We've seen things like that happen. It's a spam call and something like that. Okay, Stephen Bucci, by the way, again, you mentioned it before. If people wanted to look up your work, where can they go?
They can go to heritage.org. I'm on X as S Bucci, S-B-U-C-C-I. So they can see what I do personally there. My buddies there at Heritage, they're covering a lot of subjects in a lot of depth, and I highly recommend people go there and check it out.
Stephen Bucci, Heritage Scholar specializing in cybersecurity and military special operations. Thanks for joining us here in St. Louis. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.